on the stand and lowers the microphone stand. "Hello," I say. "It's hard to prepare a speech for your best friends, especially when mine are so special to me. I could thank them for the countless hours they've been by my side, or tell you how they've been my rock through my most troubling time. But that doesn't tell you about them. I've known them forever, and it was only fitting that they became a couple. Whether we did this years ago or today, it was bound to happen. Today, I watch the union of two people who have triumphed over every obstacle thrown at them. They're truly the epitome of romance and love to me. To Josie and Liam, thank you for showing me the path that I need to take." They meet me at the side of the stage, and we hug. When Harrison takes the stage, my heart stops beating. That's where he's most comfortable, where he shines.
"Good evening,"
he says into the microphone.
"As the best man, it's my honor to give this speech. I've known Liam for over 11 years now, and we've been through just about everything one can imagine. When he invited me into his home just over a year ago, I saw with my own eyes what had been missing from his life. I'm proud to stand up here tonight and congratulate my friend on finding the missing piece to his life, for having the guts to chase it down, and for taking the steps he needed to make it his. Liam and Josie, you're an example for us all. Before I leave, I have a gift for you. Weeks ago, four very talented people came to me and asked for some help. What they asked for, I thought couldn't be done in weeks, but they practiced every free minute they could. These four persevered, and I'm proud to introduce to you Noah Westbury and Quinn James on guitar, L. Powell on lyrics, and Peyton Powell on drums. And for the record, I didn't pick the song."
My mouth drops open as the kids take the stage. I have to blink to be sure, but Harrison is right. My daughters are there, and one is sitting at the drum set. Harrison moves around each child, making sure they're all set. When he gets to Peyton, I see it. I see how they connected. Josie and Liam come over to me and stand.
"Did you know about this?"
Liam asks. I shake my head.
"I'll be damned."
As soon as the music starts, the guests start laughing. The kids are playing their own version of Call Me Maybe. The lyrics Elle sings don't really set with me because I'm focusing on Peyton. She's so poised and determined behind the drum set, and most importantly, she's smiling. I haven't seen her smile that big in a very long time, and she's doing it because of Harrison. When the song is over, Peyton hugs Harrison before she comes rushing off stage. I pick her up and hug her tightly. "Oh, Peyton, I'm so proud of you." I set her down, and she beams at me. "Was I great?" "You were the best drummer I've ever seen." It's not a lie, at least not for me. "Harrison taught me after the boy at school started teasing me. He said to take out all my anger on his drums. He didn't care if I broke them." I replay her words over in my head. I don't remember a boy teasing her. "What are you talking about?" Liam sets his hand on my shoulder.
"When you were in L.A., there was a mishap at school. I thought Harrison would have told you, but I'm guessing now he was trying to save his relationship, and it slipped his mind."
"Is she being bullied?" Liam shakes his head.
"No. Quinn took care of that."
I try to make sense of what they're saying, but I can't. I need to hear it from Harrison. I look around for him, but don't see him anywhere. "Where's Harrison?"
"He went home. He has an early flight to L.A. in the morning."
"Why?" Liam looks away and down at the ground before meeting my gaze.
"He's moving back."
Chapter 39. Harrison. As soon as I step off the stage, the boys start their riff. We had to modify their song just slightly, but it works. Peyton has the hardest part, and has worked really hard to learn her beats. I stand behind her, waiting to lend a hand if she forgets. But she doesn't forget. She nails it each and every time she's supposed to. I watch the crowd, looking at all the guests lined up to support the kids. I couldn't be more proud of the four of them, and I'm so happy that they've asked me to help them put this together for Liam and Josie. Peyton looks over her shoulder at me. I step up and guide her hands where they need to be. It only takes her seconds to remember what she's supposed to do. Standing behind her, I have a clear shot at Caitlin, who was standing there in the middle of the dance floor, staring, not at her daughter who was singing, but the one playing the drums. Her mouth is open in shock, and honestly, if I was standing next to her, I think mine would be too. I can't imagine what these guys look like to the rest of them, but to me, they look perfect. As soon as they're done, Peyton jumps into my arms. I hold her tightly. She tells me thank you over and over again. Her words make my throat tight. I can't find the words to tell her what she means to me, or tell her how much I'm going to miss her and her sister. I'll be back next week, but only to get Quinn and say my goodbyes. I can't say them today. Not like this. Not on a happy day when everyone is laughing and enjoying themselves. You should go see your mom, I say, reluctantly letting her go. She smiles and runs off stage, right into her mother's waiting arms. I can't watch them. It's too much. I wave at Quinn, letting him know that I'm ready to leave. He comes over and gives me a high five.
I missed a riff.
It's okay, you did good. I ruffle his hair. I'm going to go now. I'll be back in a week unless you need me to come back sooner. All the things you need are at Liam's, okay?
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, bud. Call me tomorrow. Quinn waves and goes back to the party. He's getting pats on the back for his performance. I never thought about what I'd want him to be when he gets older. If music's his thing, then so be it. And if he wants to be a doctor, that's fine too. I just want him to be happy. I walk along the back of the room to the exit. I take one last look at the life I'm leaving behind. Caitlin is talking to Liam. Josie is dancing with my son, and the two girls that I wanted to call my own are dancing with Noah. I feel a pang of jealousy that everyone is so happy and content when I could have been that way, if it wasn't for the actions of someone else. The night air is cold. There is a light snow falling, just enough to leave footprints on the ground when you walk. I don't wait for my car to heat up. After the snow is cleared, I pull out of the parking lot and head for home. The lights from the reception shine in my rearview mirror. Half of me wants to stay, but the other half wants to get the hell out of Dodge before my heart shatters beyond repair. By the time I pull into my driveway, the snow has become heavier. If this delays my flight, I'll drive to Los Angeles. Even though there's nothing there waiting for me, staying here has become torture. I flip on the lights as I enter the house. I only have a few more things to pack before I'm done. The movers will be here tomorrow to drive everything back, and if it's not in a box, it doesn't make the trip. I change quickly into a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, hanging my tuxedo up in the closet. Josie and Liam aren't going on a honeymoon until February, and Liam said he'd make sure the tux gets returned, along with Quinn's. I walk into the kitchen. The linoleum is cold on my bare feet. Boxes are made up in the corner. I pick up one, along with some bubble wrap, and get to work. This is a tedious job, and I know why I've left it for last. Wrapping dishes and glasses is probably the most mundane thing I've ever done. I look at the clock when I hear knocking on the door. It's too late for anyone to be paying a visit, and everyone I know is at the reception. Twisting the doorknob, I open the door. I bite the inside of my cheek to avoid having an expression. This is the last thing I want to deal with right now. What are you doing here?
We need to talk.
She steps in without being invited. I slam the door shut behind her, causing her to jump. She stands there without a jacket on, her skin wet from where the snow has landed on her. It takes every ounce of strength that I can muster to keep from touching her. She left me, I remind myself. So talk, I say, with a bit of a bite. My wall is up. No more emotion for me.
You're leaving?
I look around at the boxes and frown. Does she think I'm remodeling? Yep, I reply, and walk into the kitchen to finish packing. I have a feeling I'll be up all night doing this shit, so might as well make good use of my time.
Harrison?
What, Caitlin? I slam the glass that's in my hand down on the counter. I feel like a shit when I see her lower lip tremble. I don't want her to cry, but I can't be a doormat for her. Look, I don't want to fight with you. As you can see, I'm moving back to Los Angeles.
Why?
She asks, as her shoulders drop. I can answer her one of two ways, truthfully or easily. I lean against the counter and clear my throat. Suddenly, the floor has become very interesting. I close my eyes and take a deep breath. I can't live in this town and watch you fall in love with someone else. I just can't. And that's going to happen someday, and frankly, I don't want to see it.
So you're leaving. What about Quinn?
Quinn will be fine. Spending a few months in public school and leaving isn't going to scar him for life. He's used to a different way of living. He'll adjust.
But he has friends here.
And he'll see them when I come back to work once a month.
So that's just it. You're just going to leave us.
Her voice breaks, which causes me to look up. There are tears streaming down her face, ruining her makeup. I shake my head and push away from the counter. There is no us, I say, as I walk past her. I open a couple of boxes until I find what I'm looking for. Against my better judgment, I wrap a quilt around her shoulders. I let my hands linger on her for a beat too long. When I pull away, she looks at me. I run my hand through my hair and tug at the ends. It's too short now. I don't like it. I have a lot of packing to do before my flight and the movers come. You should go. I don't wait to see what she says or what her reaction is. I go back to packing and focus on it, like it's my professional job. I hate that she's still standing there, watching me. Every so often she sniffs, and I think she's about to say something, only I'm rewarded more silence. I can't look at her for fear that I'd fall to her feet and ask her for another chance. I won't do that because I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not about to apologize for something that I had no control over, when all she had to do was listen to me.
Harrison?
I set the plate in the box and look at her questioningly.
My daughter was being bullied at school.
I take a step back and realize that I never told her about Peyton. I would have, but she ended us. I nod and lean against the counter. You were in L.A., and I got a call to pick up Quinn from school. Liam got a call about Peyton because your father-in-law didn't answer or something. Anyway, I went to pick up Quinn, and he had a black eye, and I knew that Peyton was involved, but I thought she punched him. When we got back to Liam's, Quinn told me a story about a friend that was being bullied, and how he asked the boy to stop, but he wouldn't. When the boy touched Quinn's friend, he reacted. I chance a look at Caitlin, and see that her hand is covering her mouth. Tears continue to stream down her face, breaking my heart even more. I put two and two together and figured with her outbursts and reluctance to do things, it had to be Peyton. So I called her down to the studio and showed her what I did when kids would bully me.
What?
She squeaks out. When I was a teenager, I found a drum set and brought it home and taught myself to play. But I'd imagine the faces of those kids who made fun of me day in and day out as I beat the drums. Every day I'd pound and pound until I had nothing left. I gave her some sticks and let her go to work. She hit the drums so hard, I swear I could see the anger leaving her body.
You helped her.
Good, I say.
You taught her to play as well?
I nod. They came to me with an idea. They wanted to play a song for Liam and Josie. So we worked very hard on making it just as perfect as possible.
She smiled.
What?
Peyton, she smiled at me for the first time since Mason died. And it wasn't just any smile. Her face lit up because of you. Because of what you did for her.
Caitlin moves in front of me. I press harder against the counter.
Look at me, Harrison. I have something to say.
I look up with hesitation. Her watery eyes slice right through my heart. My hands grip the countertop, giving me something to hold on to.
I've been so stupid these past few weeks. It took a village of people to show me how wrong I was about you in those pictures. I thought I could let you go, that I could move on and just be a friend. But every time I turn around, you're doing something that slaps me in the face to remind me that you're here. You gifted my daughters with the most precious gift, and for me, you gave me a bracelet that bears another man's initials. Why?
Because I told you I'd never ask you to stop loving him. He's a part of you, and I would never ask you to give him up. I answer her against my better judgment.
Those are things I should have remembered when I saw those pictures. I shouldn't have allowed someone to cloud what my heart knew. But I did, and I'm sorry.
I bite my lip to keep myself from breaking down. I look down and push my thumbs into my eyes. Those are words I wanted to hear weeks ago.
Harrison,
she says, as her hand pulls mine into hers. My heart soars as heat spreads through my body. I've missed her. Her fingers lock with mine as she brings our hands up between us. When her lips touch my skin, I want to push her away and tell her no. Tell her that I'm done and the damage can't be changed. But I'd be lying to myself. Caitlin, please don't do this unless you mean it, I beg her.
You can't leave us. You can't get on that plane and fly back to Los Angeles and leave us here. I'm sorry I failed us, Harrison, and I know I'm selfish and don't deserve what I'm asking.
What are you asking? She steps closer, bringing her other hand into my hair. I have no willpower to tell her no or to stop. She's going to be the death of me.
Give me, us, a second chance.
I close my eyes and get lost in the feel of her hand in my hair. I want this, I do, but I don't know if I can do it.
I love you, Harrison.
My eyes flash open, my heart races faster. Those are the words that I've wanted to hear from her for so long, and now that she's said them, I can't for the life of me remember what they sound like. Say it again.
I love you, and I love Gwen. My girls love you, and we want you both to be a part of our lives. I need you by my side, Harrison. I want to walk the path that we lay together.
I pull her close, before my mind tells me to second-guess everything. She came over here in the dark of night to tell me this. My heart fills with love as I look into her eyes. I do what I've been longing to do for weeks. I move forward, tentatively, and touch my lips to hers. Her reaction shocks me as she claims my mouth instantly. She lets go of my hand and grabs onto my shirt, tugging me closer. I pick her up, her legs wrapping around my waist, as I try to lead us upstairs. I stop when her hand slides down my pants, and I know we aren't going to make it to the bed.
Chapter 40. Caitlin. I hadn't realized how much I missed him until now. The way he makes me feel. The way he kisses me. It's like he's claiming me. This is not the adventurous Harrison opening my world on his motorcycle. This is not the sensitive Harrison who makes every cell in my body dance with his touch. No, this is primal Harrison. Domineering. Animalistic. This is the rock star telling me that I am his. I can truly understand what Josie means when she tells us about Liam Page. This version of Harrison is my own personal bad boy rocker. He excites me. He satisfies me. He makes me want to beg for more. I want him. I need him. My body is eager for him. I want him in every way possible. I slip my hand into the top of his jeans and flick the top button open. It creates enough space for me to slide my hand in. He growls. My legs rest on his hips. I bunch his shirt in my hand, trying with all my might to rip it away from his body. I palm his hard-on, desperate to touch him. He hisses as he slams me against the wall, his casted arm pressing painfully against my back.
"Fuck, I'm sorry,"
he says heavily, his lips barely leaving mine. He pulls back, much to my dismay. I whimper when we are no longer connected. My chest heaves, pushing my breasts closer to his mouth. He pulls the top of my dress down, freeing them. He takes one in his mouth and kneads the other. His tongue swirls over my taut nipple, biting it gently. I move against him, lifting my dress so I can be closer to him. Pressing against him does nothing to ease the ache that I feel. I tug again at his shirt. He takes it off with one hand, only breaking contact with me for a brief moment. I squeeze my legs tighter around his hips so I can work to free him from the confines of his jeans. My eager mouth attaches to his nipple ring. I pull, knowing that he loves the way it feels. It urges him on. He moves against me, building the friction between our clothed bodies. His fingers dig into my legs as he holds me against the wall. His mouth sears into my skin, leaving a path of burning kisses on my neck. He bites my earlobe, pulling and sucking it into his mouth. I free him from his captor, sliding my hand up and down his shaft. He pulls back and looks at me. His green eyes bore into mine, daring me to stop this before it goes too far. What he doesn't know is that I want this. I want him. Now. Tomorrow. And forever. He moves my panties aside and guides me to his ready cock. I arch against the wall as he grips the door casing for leverage. He pulls back and thrusts. I scream out, not in pain, but in pure, unadulterated pleasure. He watches me. He takes stock in knowing that I'm coming undone by his touch. He pushes harder. My body slams against the wall. The way he keeps control, the way he keeps his rhythm, it's like I'm the beat of his drum and he's playing me with every ounce of energy he has. He bunches my dress in his hand and watches as he pulls out. "Fuck," he hisses as he buries himself into me again and again. I pull him to my mouth, my hands woven in his hair as I reach my peak. I give him everything. My heart, my body, my soul, my life. Harrison comes hard, grunting and pushing himself deeper. The clarity of this moment makes me realize that I am his, and he is mine. He kisses me softly, his mouth lingering over mine. My breath catches when he moves away from me. He holds me in his hands until my feet are planted on the ground. I look down at myself and shake my head. I move to right myself, but he bats my hands away. He adjusts my dress, placing small kisses along my cleavage. He bends, and in one fell swoop, has me in his arms. My arm wraps around his neck. My fingers play with the back of his hair. He walks faster, once we reach the top of the stairs, his feet shuffling. I look at him, confused.
"I forgot to button my jeans,"
he explains as he tries not to laugh. My heart sinks when I look around his room. Boxes line the walls, ready to be moved back to Los Angeles. He sits me on his bed. I can't look at him for fear he'll see the heartbreak. Am I enough to keep him here? Harrison uses his finger and thumb to lift my chin. His thumb caresses my lower lip. My tongue reaches out to taste him.
"Ask me,"
he demands. "Stay," I say quietly. "Stay here and be with me. Stay and be a family." I stand so we're body to body. I take his hand in mine and press it to my heart. "Stay and love me. Love us." He captures my lips with his with such urgency, I have to grab onto his shoulders for fear I'm going to fall. He picks me up and lays me on the bed gracefully. He hovers over me, his eyes boring into mine.
"I love you."
"I love you, Harrison." My skin pebbles as his fingers map out their destination. I think he's touched every inch of my body, some places more than once. But who's keeping track? I'm not. I lay in his bed, surrounded by him. His naked body is pressed to my side as he writes his name on my stomach.
When did you know?
He asks. Know what?
That you loved me.
The night I came to pick up the girls. They were coloring on you. And it's what Peyton said and the way you were with them. I knew my heart was yours even if I was having a hard time letting it go. He pulls me closer to him, burying his face in my hair.
The movers will be here soon,
he says in a whisper. I roll over and face him, my hand cupping his cheek. Move in with me. His grin grows as my words sink in.
Your house is too small, and so is this one. I'll buy us a new one.
I shake my head. My father-in-law, he... I take a deep breath. I know Harrison will never ask me to stop loving Mason. I respect him for that. But will he be able to live in a house where my husband grew up? That I don't know. He wants to travel and can't take care of his house. It's big enough for the five of us. The girls were born there, and Mason grew up there. I know it might be difficult for you.
Do you want us there?
I do. So much. And so does my father-in-law.
He does?
Yes. He thought... He knows about us, and he thought we could live there as a family. Harrison pulls me to him and kisses me hard.
You'll be okay with us living there, even though there's a history?
I love that house. I always have. Wait until you see it. The basement is finished so you could put your drums down there or have a space to get away. The wraparound porch is perfect for sitting out on a hot summer night and watching the sun go down. There are four bedrooms, so each of the kids can have their own space. I think you and Quinn will fit in just perfectly.
Can we talk about a few things first?
Sure. I try to sound confident, but I'm not going to lie. My insides are shaking. Harrison rests his head on his hand and looks at me.
Moving in is a big step toward a serious commitment, and that's something I'm ready and willing to do. But I want us on the same page. I spent so much time trying to woo you that I bypassed a lot of the getting-to-know-you crap that a normal dating couple figures out early on. Like, do they want kids? And what are their views on marriage?
Do you want more kids? Harrison shrugs.
I don't know. I can see myself happy with our three, and if another one came along, I'd be happy with that as well.
A part of me feels relief, because having twins is a lot of work, and I can't imagine adding another one. But another part of me longs to give him a child. I just don't know which part is stronger right now. I can live with that.
Good.
He leans forward and brushes his lips against mine.
Now, marriage.
I feel my heart drop.
I'm in love with you, Caitlin. And if you said you wanted to get married, I'd do it. But I'd like for you to think of something first, and that's the girls. I've told you that I respect your love for Mason, and I'll never ask you to stop loving him. And that includes changing your name. I don't need some piece of paper to tell me that you're mine. What I need is for you to love me. That's all I ask. What I need is for Peyton and Elle to know their father, and to know that I'm there for them when he can't be. It's important to me for them to decide how they want me around. If they come to me years from now and say they want me to adopt them, I'll do it. But it has to be their decision. This doesn't mean I won't marry you. I will. You just tell me when you're ready. But I think we both know that you might not ever get there. I have no doubt in my mind that you're a one-wedding bride, and I'm more than okay with that. I respect that and love you more for it. I know we can have a long and happy life, standing side by side, watching our children grow up. I know Liam has been taking care of your bills. I know he paid off your house. But I want to take care of you now. I don't want you to work, unless you want to. I know you like being home when the kids get out of school, and I want that for you. Let me provide for you, Peyton and Elle.
Tears pool in my eyes. How he knows me the way he does is beyond me. I move closer and nuzzle into the crook of his neck. His arms encase me, holding me to his body. I think if I was someone different, I'd be kicking you out of bed for saying we're never getting married. Harrison laughs.
Baby, if you were someone else, I wouldn't be here right now.
No?
No,
he says, leaning back to look at me.
I only have eyes for Caitlin Powell.
Chapter 41. Harrison. Are you sure you want to do this?
Yes, I'm sure.
You know I think it's going to be sexy as hell, right? I pick up our joined hands and kiss hers.
No, I didn't know that.
I can't tell if she's being coy or not. I shake my head. Fuck, baby. I'm hard just thinking about it. I pull into the parking lot of Rock City. I feel her stiffen next to me. I know she's scared, but she knows that she can back out at any time. This is something she wants, something that she suggested. I get out of the car and run around to her door and open it for her. I take her hand in mine and walk with her by my side. When she came to me and said she wanted a tattoo, I thought she was joking, but she wasn't. In fact, she had the design all picked out. I asked her how long she had been thinking about getting one, and she said a while. The chime on the door rings out when we enter. I made her an appointment as soon as she asked. She fills out her paperwork and hands her drawing to the artist, who starts transforming it into something he can work with. "Right this way," he says. She grabs my hand. I squeeze hers, letting her know that I'm with her all the way. "Where do you want it?" he asks. She looks at me and smiles. The location has been a secret until now. She lets go of my hand and lifts her shirt.
"Whoa, what are you doing?" I ask, as I try to pull her shirt back down.
"Stop,"
she says, pushing my hands away. She turns and points to her hip, showing the artist where she wants her flower and how it should fit on her body.
"You'll have to pull your shorts down a bit," he says, watching my reaction. "Lie on your side."
He nods toward the table and waits for her. With her shirt lifted and her shorts hanging lower than I'd like them to be in public, he sets her design on her and pulls away the paper. Her flower will sit just above her hip bone, with vines above and below. Small stars will be added as accents.
"What color do you want the flower?"
"Purple,"
she answers. I pull a chair closer to her and hold her hand. She looks at me, her eyes showing concern. "You'll be fine. You've given birth to twins. This will seem easy." She rolls her eyes and scoots her head closer to me. She rests there, waiting. I lean down and kiss her on the nose. She stiffens when the gun turns on. I know she's nervous. I was too when I got my first one. But I know she'll do just fine, and will likely want another soon. As soon as the needle touches her skin, she squeezes my hand. I watch her for any signs of distress, but see none. She keeps her eyes closed, likely concentrating on her happy place. Where that is, I don't know. She won't tell me. Either way, if it keeps her calm and level-headed, she can go there whenever she wants. I was informed of said happy place when we moved into the house. Combining two households was a nightmare. We had a mix-match of stuff, and it didn't blend. A week after we moved in, I threw my hands up and took her shopping. I told her that for 7 days the kids and I had listened about how nothing matches, and now she can have whatever she wants. She balked at first, saying she can go to her happy place and make it work. I didn't know what that meant, but each day she was spending more and more time there, and I'd had enough. She finally relented and bought a house full of furniture. Now everything is new and ours, which I think was the problem from the get-go. I kissed Caitlin for the first time in front of the kids on the day that we told them we were moving in together. I figured it was a good time. It was much easier than I thought it would be, kissing her. She gathered them in her living room and told them we had some news. Elle asked if she was going to be a princess again, referring to her stint as Josie's flower girl. Peyton didn't say anything. But Quinn, he looked at me and smiled. He knew. I cupped Caitlin's face and planted one square on her lips. I wasn't sure what Quinn would think, but he, along with the girls, said it was going to be cool since they spent most of their time together anyway. Peyton asked if she and I would still practice together, and I told her nothing would change, except I'd be around more. The kid seemed to like that idea. I look over at the design taking shape on her side. The impure thoughts are rampant. I can't wait to lick, kiss, and nip every square inch of her body. When she asked me what I thought about her getting a tattoo, I showed her. Words didn't even come close to describing what I thought. We played a little game that night. It was, let Harrison find the location of the tattoo. Each time I thought I was close, she'd tell me I wasn't, and I had to start all over again. I loved that game.
How does it look?
Sexy. She pushes me in the shoulder.
It doesn't look sexy. I looked up the procedure online. I'm sure it's red and gross-looking.
I lean in and whisper, Baby, nothing on you is gross-looking. She snuggles into my neck and places small kisses there. I refuse to move, relishing in the attention. There are two sides of Caitlin. I learned this as well after we started living together. There's the mom side. That Caitlin is on her game. She's making breakfast for five, packing three lunches, checking homework, doing all our laundry and making dinner. She dresses in tight-ass yoga pants and has her hair piled on top of her head. Believe it or not, this is my dirty girl, Caitlin. This is my come home at lunch for a quickie, Caitlin. Then there's the shy, reserved Caitlin. That's what I have now. She wants to be held and caressed and will show affection, as long as it's hidden from everyone else. She's not afraid to let it be known that I'm hers, though, but it takes some good goading for her to be flashy about our relationship. This is the Caitlin that I get at night when we're all sitting around watching TV. She'll curl up in a chair, or I'll come home to find all three kids piled around her. The first time I saw her and Quinn sitting together, I thought I was going to lose my shit. I almost broke down and cried like a baby. She treats him as her own, and that is more than I could ask for. You're done, the artist says. Caitlin bends to look. She gasps and covers her mouth.
It's beautiful.
I told you, I say, kissing her temple. He covers it and gives her the instructions that I have memorized. When she hops down from the table, I pull her to me. I kiss her once and move aside, taking my shirt off as I do.
What are you doing?
She asks. It's my turn. I jump up on the table, just as the artist returns with my sketch. Where? He asks. I point to my chest, and he nods.
What are you getting?
You'll see. I lay back, putting my arms behind my head. I'm grinning from ear to ear when he sets the paper down and peels it back.
Harrison?
Her voice is soft and wavering. I pull my hand out from behind my head and reach for her. She comes to me, allowing me to hold her. I watch her the entire time, never flinching or needing to look that he's doing it right. I know he is. Mine is done quickly. He bandages it up and sends us on our way. I don't ask if she wants to go home or if she has other plans. I need to go home. There are three people waiting for us, and I have something to show them. As soon as we pull into the driveway, Jenna is walking out. She looks tired, run down.
What's wrong?
Caitlin asks her. Caitlin puts her hands on Jenna's shoulder to hold her still.
I think I have the flu. I'm sorry if I got the kids sick.
It's okay, Caitlin says, walking Jenna to her car. I wait for Caitlin at the bottom step and make faces at Peyton, who is staring at me through the picture window.
I hope she's not sick,
Caitlin says, meeting me at the step. I hope not either. She's been acting so weird since the wedding, though. I don't know, but something's off. Did she meet someone there? You know, maybe had a bad one-night stand? Caitlin shakes her head.
I don't think so. Heck, the last time I heard her talk about a guy was when she kept talking about you when I had a sleepover. She kept asking me if she could ask you out.
I can't help but laugh.
Oh, yeah? What'd you say?
Caitlin rolls her eyes and leans into me. She stands on her tippy-toes to kiss me.
They were mean to me at that slumber party, Harrison. They teased me until I told them I was in love with you.
I rub my hands up and down her arms. Poor baby, I say, kissing her nose. Come on, we have kids waiting for us. I pull her hand into mine as we walk up the steps and into the house. Three eager children meet us at the door. Quinn is used to me coming back with new ink all the time, but not Caitlin. We didn't hide that she was getting a tattoo from them, and they all seemed excited. Peyton, mostly. I have a feeling that she's going to be the hellion of the trio.
What'd you get?
Quinn asks. Caitlin lifts her shirt, and I pull down the bandage. The girls move closer, and I tell them not to touch it because it needs to heal.
What'd you get, Dad?
How do you know I got anything?
Quinn laughs. Because I know you. You got something. Come on and show us.
I take off my shirt, much to the giggles of the girls. They colored on me last night, and I didn't bother scrubbing off their ink. I pull down the bandage and risk a look at Caitlin. She has tears pooling in her eyes. Happy tears.
Perfect,
Quinn says, making me happy that he approves. The transition for us has been seamless. We fit as a family. He treats the girls as if they're his sisters and has the utmost respect for Caitlin. In the 9 weeks we've lived together, I've heard him call her Mom a few times, and she didn't miss a beat when she answered him. I think the moment I knew she was in for this for the long haul was when she introduced Quinn as her son. The twins step forward, both of them looking at me with awe in their eyes. I kneel down so that we're eye level.
What do you think, guys? You put our names on your body,
Elle says. I did.
We're with Quinn on your heart,
Peyton adds. That's because I love you both. Both girls tackle me, knocking me to the ground. I wrap my arms around them, and I hold them to me. Quinn finds a spot and wraps his arms around my neck. Hey, guys, I think we're missing someone, I say above their laughter.
Come on, Mom, there's room,
Quinn says, letting Caitlin know that she's needed. She sits in between my legs, and the girls hold her in their arms. It's in this moment that I realize my life can't get any better than this. Anything that happens to us will just be an added bonus. I have my son, the woman I'm madly in love with, and two beautiful little girls that make my heart sing each time they smile. What more could a guy like me ask for?
Chapter 42. Caitlin. 6 months later. I stand on the porch, accepting the sun as I bask in its warmth while watching the kids. The kids. I still find it odd to say that, but at the same time, love it. I love everything about my life right now, and have Harrison and Quinn to thank for that. Once I let go of my fear of losing Harrison and being alone with another broken heart, I started living again. The grass suddenly became greener. The sun was brighter, warmer. The biggest change was laughter. The happy sounds that echoed through our house were because of Harrison and Quinn. They made me and my girls smile, all while never forgetting that another man has been a huge part of our lives. Pictures of Mason hang in our family room. Harrison hung them while I was out shopping. I came home, and once I saw them, I cried. I cried for hours in his arms, telling him that I didn't deserve him. He should have agreed with me, but he didn't. He's the creator of this blended family that looks whole to anyone who sees us. And we are almost whole. I still miss Mason. I always will. Harrison makes sure that he's talked about, that the girls say their prayers to their daddy, and that we visit the cemetery at least once a week to place fresh flowers on his grave. If it weren't for Harrison, I'd be a walking zombie. Because of him, I sleep peacefully at night. Because of Harrison, My girls are loved and have a father figure to look up to. Because of Harrison, I have a son who treats me not only like his mom, but also his best friend, and he loves my girls like they're his sisters. Because of Harrison, I have my life back and a family that my girls and I can love and feel secure in. The kids are playing in the backyard. The heat is rising fast today, and they wanted to get out before it became unbearable. I agreed, and couldn't pass up the opportunity to watch them. Today is backwards day. What that means is that Quinn and I will go off and do something together while Harrison takes the twins for the day. We've been trying to do this at least once a month because I felt like I needed to spend some time with Quinn, getting to know him. Before we moved in together, he'd come to my house after school with the twins, but I was afraid to know him. Afraid that his father would break my heart and take his son with him. But that fear is gone.
Mommy, look at me!
Elle screams my name as she flies through the air on the trampoline. That thing scares the living daylights out of me. But my partner, who is supposed to side with me on everything, thinks it's the best thing ever and loves jumping with the kids. Last night, the four of them camped out on it, under the stars. I stayed inside, away from bugs and in the comfort of my bed, missing Harrison.
"Did you see me?"
Elle asks as she comes running over to me. Her hair is all over the place, half in a ponytail and half out. She wants to be more independent, and I'm trying to allow that. It's hard, I admit. She's my baby, and I want her and Peyton to not grow up. But there's no stopping it.
"You were so high. It scares me."
Elle rolls her eyes, a trait that I wish I could break.
"Harrison says it's fine as long as the sides are up, and see?"
She points to the trampoline where Quinn and Peyton are still jumping.
"The sides are up. I can't fall out."
"Hmm. What if you got so high that a bird swooped down and picked you up and carried you away from me?" Again with the eye roll and a shake of her head.
"That's ridiculous,"
she says, bouncing back toward the others. She's right. It is. But the thought has crossed my mind once or twice. The sliding glass door opens, and goosebumps spread across my body. A smile breaks out as I bring my iced tea to my lips. His hands find my hips as he pulls me close to him. His lips graze the top of my shoulder.
"What are you doing?"
he asks as he moves his hands in front of me, locking me into his arms. I lean my head back and take in his freshly showered Harrison scent. This man, with all his money, insists on wearing Old Spice, and I'm not going to lie, it smells damn good on him. Just watching them and trying to convince Elle that she'll get carried away by a bird if she jumps too high. Harrison laughs.
"That would have to be a huge bird."
I shrug. "It could happen." I feel him shake his head.
"He'd drop her after a minute, once he realized that she talks too much and would be worried about how her hair looks."
He's right, of course. Elle is quickly becoming a little fashionista. Not that I mind. She's always been more like me. But Quinn definitely hates it. The many fashion shows he's asked to play music for gets on his nerves, but he's a team player and puts on his game face.
"Are you ready to leave?"
I ask, not knowing what their plans are. That was something we agreed on when we started our backwards day. Plans are left a secret, so we have stories to tell later. Harrison whistles, and just like that, all three of them come running.
"I am,"
he says, kissing me full on the lips. I'll never forget the love and experiences I had with Mason. But with Harrison, there's no comparison. He ignites a desire I didn't know I had. A simple touch from him and there's a fire burning until he can extinguish it.
"Are we going now?"
Peyton asks. She still wears her football jersey just about everywhere and has it on today. But Harrison doesn't say anything. I wonder sometimes if he cares. But then I remember that he said he'd never replace Mason, and that he would always live on in our family.
"I am. Kiss your mom and we'll go."
I lean down and kiss both girls before they leave me for Harrison. He holds their hands as they bound down the stairs and disappear into the garage.
"Well, that leaves us. Are you ready?"
I ask Quinn.
"Sure am. Where are we going?"
I shake my head. "What's rule number one?" I ask as I walk back into the house to lock up. Quinn follows, shutting the sliding glass door behind him.
"No questions until we're there."
I ruffle his hair and know my time is limited before he asks me to stop doing that.
Let's go. We have a busy day. He smiles, even though I know he wants to pout because I'm not budging. We drive in silence until he spots the go-kart track that just opened today. He's been eyeing this place each time we drive by. I was surprised when he didn't ask if we could go.
You're so awesome, Caitlin.
Let's go ride, shall we? I say as we exit the car. Of course, the line is long and we're given a number. We have about a 2-hour wait, but it'll be worth it. Want to walk around? Maybe play some arcade games? Quinn nods and leans the way into the arcade. I hand him some money and let him change it into tokens that he hands back to me to hold. I follow him around, never much into video games myself, and watch while he tries them all out. What do you want for your birthday? His birthday is coming up soon, and his grandma will be coming to town. This will be the first time he's having a party with kids from school, and I want to make it special.
I want something that probably costs a lot of money and can't have.
I look at him questioningly. His eyes are downcast, and the happy kid that I had minutes ago no longer exists. He shrugs and walks away from me. Quinn, is this about your mother? I can't stand the woman, even though I chose to believe her. But if Quinn wants to meet her, I know Harrison will make it happen.
Sort of.
I take his hand in mine and lead him outside. Meet me over there. I point to the table that's open and head to the snack counter to get us something to eat. Let's talk while we share some fries. Tell me what's going on. Quinn sighs and sets his fry down.
I don't want to meet my mother or anything like that. But I want... I don't know how to say it, Caitlin.
Just spitting it out seems to work for the girls. Want to try that?
I want you to be my mom.
He rambles so fast that I almost miss what he says. He's not looking at me, and I can't tell if he's embarrassed by his request or not. I know I should be stunned, but I've considered him my son for a while now. Quinn, can you look at me? He does, raising his baby blues that match his dad's to meet my eyes.
I'm sorry.
For what?
I know you already have kids and probably want to have a baby with my dad.
So what if your dad and I had a baby? That means you'd be a big brother again. He shrugs.
They'd call you Mom.
Do you want to call me Mom? He's said it a few times in passing or during sentimental moments, but he's not consistent.
Yes, but I want you to be my mom. Like, make it real.
I furrow my eyebrows when I look at him. What do you mean, make it real? He sighs.
Noah said that before his dad came back, Nick was going to adopt him, and his last name was going to be Ashford. I want you to have my last name, and I want you to adopt me. Make us a real family.
I sit back as far as I can without falling over. Adoption. It's something I've thought about, but haven't had the nerve to bring up. Adoption might mean marriage. And right now, Harrison is dead set against it, saying we can be a family and take care of each other without a piece of paper saying what we already know, that we're committed and in love. But I want this. I want this boy in my life until I'm no longer here. I want to be there when he graduates and when he is meeting his bride at the end of the aisle. I want to pace the waiting room when his wife is in labor with my grandchild and hold his child in my arms, knowing that I'm a grandma. I want this boy to be my son. I'll adopt you, Quinn, on one condition.
What's that?
That from here on out, you call me Mom. Because when I hear you say that word, it makes my heart soar with so much love. I love you as my own, and I think it's about time we make it legal. Don't you? He smiles so big I can see all his places he's missing teeth. I stand and pull him into my arms, holding him to my chest. I don't know if a son was in the cards for Mason and I. But if he's looking down on me now, I hope he's smiling, because I have no doubt that I'm meant to be this boy's mom.
Chapter 43 Harrison. It's Backwards Day, one of my favorite days of the month. It's a time when I get to be a girly man and hang out with two of my best girls. I've been known to let Peyton and Elle do my hair and paint my nails, but that only occurs when Caitlin takes Quinn to the movies, and the girls and I chose to snuggle on the couch, watching Disney movies. I stand and watch Caitlin while she watches the kids play. Last night I chose to sleep outside on the trampoline with them. I was hoping Caitlin would change her mind and join us, but she didn't. As Peyton said, she's too girly. I sort of like girly, so I'm okay with it. To say my life is on path with my dreams would be inaccurate. I never dreamt this. I never thought in a million years that I'd be standing in a house that I own, with the love of my life, surrounded by children that laugh day in and day out. For me, this is perfect. I slide open the glass door and step behind Caitlin. I can't resist touching her. My skin craves the connection we have. My fingers dig into her hips as my body responds to her. Never will a single moment be enough to quench the desire I have for her, and each day it grows exponentially. My lips trail kisses from her neck across her shoulder. I love the hot weather we're having. The hotter it is, the fewer clothes she wears. Right now she's rocking these tiny shorts that accentuate her tanned legs, and a tank top that's begging me to take it off. She's a walking sin, and I want to be the one she confesses to later. "What are you doing?" I ask, as I move my hands to the front of her stomach. I lock her in my arms, holding her against me. She leans her head back, and even though she tries to act coy, I know she smells me. I smile, unable to stop myself.
"Just watching them and trying to convince Elle that she'll get carried away by a bird if she jumps too high?"
I laugh at the thought of Elle flying through the sky, screaming her head off. That would have to be a huge bird. Caitlin shrugs.
"It could happen."
He'd drop her after a minute once he realized that she talks too much and would be worried about how her hair looks. Caitlin tightens her arms around mine.
"Are you ready to leave?"
I nod and let her go so I can whistle for the kids. It's crazy to see them coming running like their asses are on fire. "I am," I say, kissing her goodbye. The twins each grab my hands and pull me away from their mom. I think they're jealous. Today it's the park, mall, and ice cream. I need to find Quinn a birthday present. It's a hard task for a kid who has everything, but that's where I'm going to rely on the girls. The three of them are thick as thieves, and they'll know what he wants. I reluctantly leave Caitlin on the deck and head off with Peyton and Elle. They're both eager to get their day started. As a rule, my plans are kept secret until we arrive at the destination, and while the mall may not be my favorite place to be, I do love watching their faces when we're riding the carousel. For some reason, my horse never seems to catch theirs. I think it's rigged. The girls pile into our new acquired family car and buckle themselves in. We traded in both our cars for an SUV and a luxury sedan. I don't mind driving the SUV. It's fully decked out and completely loaded. These cars have come a long way from the stigma of a mom-mobile. Peyton and Elle turn on the DVD player and start watching whatever movie they left in here. That's one thing I had to grow accustomed to. A mess. Caitlin's not messy by any means, but the girls leave stuff everywhere. If I'm not stepping on a Barbie, it's a barrette, or I'm tripping over a ribbon. I love these two as if they're my own. But damn, do they need to pick up their stuff.
"How long until we are there?"
Elle says. Since we moved in together, her speech has started to falter. I don't know if it's because of Quinn and me, or if she's just not focusing. Caitlin and Mason did an amazing job making sure these girls spoke clearly. I hate seeing that she's having this issue now.
"Elle, say there. Can you please do that for me?"
"There,"
she whispers. "Thank you," I say, watching her in the rearview mirror. She smiles but doesn't reply. Frankly, that's good enough for me. The relationship I have with the twins is good, if not excellent, and they know that I'm not trying to replace their dad. I just want to love and be there for them when they need me. And if that means scaring the living shit out of any guy who tries to date them, I'll do it, because I think that's what Mason would want. I pull into the mall parking lot and earn a "Yippee!" as soon as I shut the car off. Months ago, Peyton would have crossed her arms and refused to get out of the car. We've come a long way, and I know Caitlin is thankful. I meet both girls at their respective doors and take their hands in mine. As we walk through the mall, the women gawk. The last time we were here, I got hit on. Caitlin says they were flirting because of who I am. I countered that they saw me as a committed man with twin daughters, and that's what they want. She rolled her eyes, but knew I was right.